Praise to Christ, our Lord.
So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I felt led to reflect on this passage from Jeremiah chapter 29 to help us prepare for the national celebration, National Day on the 9th of August. And as the second half of the year opens, it's good that we begin to think and prepare our hearts to pray and to bless the nation as she turns 1 year older. So Jeremiah chapter 29, please keep your Bible open there. And you find at the top of the passage, you have this phrase, Jeremiah's letter to the exiles. An Old Testament scholar calls this the first pastoral epistle of the Bible. So there was a point in Israel history where they were thrown into exile in Babylon, around about the 6th century BC. And we have this letter from prophet Jeremiah, a pastoral letter, not filled with the usual words of comfort or cliche, but it is a very strong and somewhat surprising message. Because it is a traumatic experience to be thrown into exile. Where we are, who we are, and who we are with define our sense of home. And when that's taken away suddenly from us, we are displaced. Years of culture, gestures, language and customs, all are suddenly removed from us. We become strangers in a strange land. So imagine the shock which the Jews were going through. And then we have this message from Prophet Jeremiah, which is surprising. And I trust that that message will be a timeless one for us too. Because God's people also has a history of movement. And today, our Christians are moving from cities to cities. In fact, I was reflecting on our own clergy as well. A good number of our clergy weren't born in Singapore. We were born somewhere else, but called to serve here. I recall coming to Singapore in the year 1982. With only one bag in hand and knowing only two fellow Malaysian friends who have also come along here to study. It was a brand new chapter. I, of course, did not know then how it will all shape out. So this sense of being alienated in exile happens to us. And it's not just about national or physical displacement. It can be a change in our season in life. It can be the loss of a loved one. It can be the loss of a job. It can be a breakdown of a marriage or relationship. We can go through all these seasons in our lives, seasons of alienation, seasons where we are lifted up of our place of comfort. And in such a challenging moment, what is the message that God is saying to us? And Jeremiah seems to be saying here, you can do more than just survive. You can prosper. In fact, three times in this passage, Jeremiah said, God said, I've carried you into exile. That this is God's doing. That God has a purpose in this. So whatever state of alienation, of being exiled that you may find yourself in from time to time, we as God's children need to trust in His sovereign purpose. And I want to tease out just 3 points. This is a very rich passage. 3 points for us to think about. Firstly, the whole idea of home. Secondly, seeking the welfare of the city. And thirdly, how we can pray for the nation. First, the idea of home. Make this your home. And Jeremiah shocked the Jews with this message in verses 5 to 6. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there and do not decrease. And Babylon was not just foreign, it was hostile to the Jewish culture and faith. But if you know something about the calling upon Israel, you can see already here the seeding of this thought that when God makes us a people, it's not just for ourselves, it's not so that we can be in a bubble, in a spiritual ghetto, but it's God has always transformed us, called us to Himself so that we can serve the world. And the Jewish people, the Israel, is no different. And the new Israel, you can call the church as such, is no different as well. And God seems to be saying, you're in Babylon for a while, but this is part of my plan. So God has sent you here. He has a plan for you. This city is not God-forsaken. So build houses. Don't stay in makeshift tents. Enter the rhythm of the Babylonian season. Start planting and eat it. Eat the food, even if it means you have to change your diet. I was in Toronto for my sabbatical 3 years ago, and I met a good number of Malaysians. And I'm surprised they're still dreaming of nasi lemak, dreaming of char kway teow. But I was talking to them, like, hey, you need to begin to get used to the diet here in Canada because you are here, you're staying here for good. So accept this land, accept this culture, accept this diet, integrate and build your home here. And so Jeremiah is saying, have children, make children, be fruitful and multiply, the Genesis mandate. So these are words that speaks of permanence. Houses can be built rather quickly, gardens maybe a bit more time, but to have children and grandchildren, that's long-term planning. And that was how Jeremiah wanted them to have, the attitude to have, the sense of home. Now the church, the Christian church, has always faced this same tension wherever in the world. In the world, but yet not of the world. The prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. In fact, the Old New Testament, this idea of God's people in exile, of dual citizenship, is right through the New Testament. For example, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, we too are aliens in the world. Yet the same Bible will say later on in Romans chapter 13, yet we are earthly citizens. So this sense of tension. And we as Christians don't often grapple with this tension very well. Sometimes we see this world either as a demonic and dark place to escape from, or at best a desert, a dry testing ground from which we are only just passing through on our way to a better life in heavenly Jerusalem. That is our true calling. This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. While others will swing to the other extreme. We live the way we live in this world as if this world is the be-all and end-all. The comments by a second century Christian leader, Dionysius, captures this understanding of tension of dual citizenship. It's worth looking at it. Referring to Christians, they reside in their respective countries, but only as aliens. They take part in everything as citizens, but put up with everything as foreigners. Every foreign land is their home, and every home a foreign land. They find themselves in the flesh, but do not live according to the flesh. And this statement in the second century captures the dilemma that Christians have found themselves to be in. Called to be faithful to the land that God has placed them, and yet so aware that they belong to the kingdom of heaven. Now, I truly believe that if a Christian is practicing his faith, he will be a good citizen, a good permanent resident, a good social permit holder, wherever he may be in the world that we live. There's no world that's too dark. There's no world that's God forsaken. Wherever God has called you, there God has placed you. I believe the Christians, we don't come as pirates, coming to plunder, to loot, to fill up our family coffers, and then move on to a better life. A Christian come, yes, to receive. Some of you are economic migrants. But you still come with a strong sense of calling, a strong sense of blessing, a wanting to give, a wanting to bless. And so this sense of building up home, rooting ourselves, is all a part of that. Maybe for you, some of you may be 3 years. Some of you may be 30 years. Some of you may be 70, and that's a lifespan. Huh? In the message from Jeremiah, 70 years, that's a lifespan. It'll be a long time. Some of you may think of your grandchildren, think of the future here in Singapore. Whatever it may be, you ask, how can I sing my roots? How can I stop living in makeshift tent and integrate, eat the food that the people eat, mingle with them, accept them as my fellow citizens? And that, brothers and sisters, will be a Christian attitude to have in your years that you spend here in Singapore. So, make this city your home. But secondly, seek the welfare of the city. Right. Seek the welfare of the city, for it is welfare, you have welfare. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. So the message to the Jews is to stay put. But what else? And here, Jeremiah gives them an even higher calling. You live in such a way, not in terms of withdrawal, neither in terms of accommodation, and certainly not subversion. You are instead to seek the welfare of the city. Don't just live your life. Don't withdraw from the life of this city. And don't subvert, but seek the welfare of the very city that some of you may be despising, for the customs, the culture, the values are so different from your own home. The Hebrew word used here for peace is shalom. It means wholeness, salvation. It means to seek the total well-being of the city that you are living in. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. Her good will be your good. Her prosperity will be your prosperity. Her peace will be your peace. I constantly find this message in Jeremiah 29 very amazing. And it carries the contemporary message for Christians everywhere. And we tend to, of course, locate welfare to something you do for the poor or those in the margins of the city. But of course, here, it's referring to welfare of the whole city. To seek for the total welfare of the whole city. Not from afar, but from within. Not to separate ourselves from the society, welfare society, but to pursue it together. Because the welfare of the church, the welfare of the city, is bound together. And I firmly believe this to be true for Singapore as well. And I like the word seek. By the way, this word seek appeared twice, a few times in this passage. To seek the welfare as well as to seek the Lord, later in verse 13. And seek is an active word. It's not a call to passiveness, to passivity. We need to be deliberate and search for ways to help this city to find peace and total well-being. It has to be intentional. And sometimes as a church, we ask all the questions. We too are seeking for the welfare of this city. And this city, by the way, I'm not just referring to Singaporeans who have been here for many years. Also include those who are here for us just for a few years, tending our homes. Our domestic servants. We have hundreds of them that visit the cathedral every Sunday. And so that you know, it is a hot topic amongst the leadership, our PCC, our cell leaders, when we gather, we ponder. The easiest thing is to say, don't come in. Lock up the gates. Or, and the easiest thing is to say, just come in. Anybody can come. But there are challenges. The toilets get stuck. As you can hear in the notices now, right? Please use the toilets in the CNS. The NAVE toilets are not in working order. And so there are concerns. How can we accommodate and yet find space for everyone? We have to be intentional. We're talking now, we're giving health, free health service to the foreigners who are on our grounds. We have to be intentional. We have to seek ways to bless this city. But often the city do not know what will bring her peace. There's one time in Jesus' ministry when he was approaching Jerusalem, recorded for us in Luke chapter 19, and he saw the city and he wept over the city. One of those rare occasions where Jesus was weeping, not over a person, but over a city. And he said this, "If you have known to this day, even you, the things which make for peace." If you have known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace. Because in this global internet world, we weep over many cities in the world today. Mosul, Aleppo, some cities in Asia as well. And sometimes we still need to weep for even for a seemingly peaceful modern city like Singapore. You don't need to be involved in war to see wreckage. I think we know that. Even a city, peaceful city like Singapore, there are wreckages of different sorts. People getting involved in drugs, marriages falling apart. Even in this materially prosperous city, some are on the margin struggling to make ends meet. So Jesus stands outside the city and he weeps. And he calls the church to weep as well. He calls the church to care and also to pray, to offer a peace which sometimes is rejected because the city sometimes don't understand what makes for peace. Seeking the welfare of the city. A challenge to all of us, not to live our own welfare, but live the welfare of the city. And thirdly, of course, to pray for the city. Not just to make a home, not just seek its welfare, but in the process to pray to the Lord on his behalf. This is precisely the words Jeremiah used, to pray to the Lord on behalf of the city. And that's what the church is called to be. A house of prayer for all nations. A very important work this morning in the 800 lower churches, maybe 1,000 now, gathering to worship and to pray. While the city rests from counting money, rests from businesses, politics, the church gather to pray for the city. A very important work. I spent my first 2 years as a deacon here when I was first priesthood. That's almost 20 years ago. 2 years here serving in St. Andrew's Cathedral. And I was given a very nice room, a very august room at the first floor at the north transept, wooden panels, all right? And through a small window where I'm seated, I can see the tower, the Raffles City Tower. And GIC office was then located there, the Government Investment Corporation. I have a very good friend, a peer friend. We graduated together, and he just started his job as an investment banker. So the heart of business over on this side, and over there, the parliament. So here we have the cathedral sandwiched between those who are making political decisions and those who are making decisions like my friend. Millions are being moved on a daily basis at the heart of business and commerce. And there I was at the start of my life, a deacon. I suddenly began to ask myself, what have I signed up for? Am I making a difference? Is the work of the church, does it really matter to this city? And I had to be reminded again, the work of prayer is important. I have a different calling for my friend, but no less important. The place of the church in the midst of politics and commerce is to be found praying for the city. And St. Paul said very much the same thing in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. I urge that prayers, petition, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all those in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Saying the same thing, pray for the city, because her welfare is your welfare. Her good is your good. And that is our primary call as a church, to be found praying for the city. And here's a good time to introduce the, if you can, Reverend Peter, the book. Yeah, I kind of left it there. Introduce the 40 day. You know, here in Singapore, it's quite amazing because National Day falls on the 9th of August. And so for almost 20 years now, we have set aside the 1st of July to 9th of August, 40 days. That's very clean and neat. 40 days of prayer. And to help us, we are very grateful to Love Singapore. They're good at it. And this one, devotional guides that get you into the city. It gets you praying for the government. It gets you praying for the life of this city. If you're new here in Singapore, you'll find this book interesting as well. It's called 40 Day a Prayer. You can get a copy from just for $1 from the Welcome Center. And every day you're guided to pray for the city, to pray for the nation. And sometimes you also end up praying for the nations around us. And this year in the cathedral, we're doing a bit different. We are opening up the cathedral from 12:30 to 1:30 for worship and prayer for the nation. Calling Christians everywhere, those who work in the city. You don't need to be a cathedral member to come because we also see the cathedral as a national monument, a national church to serve the wider body of Christ. And so I want to strongly encourage you to come. If you can spare half an hour, so be it. You don't need to stay throughout. You perhaps catch a quick bite and come, or have a quick bite after the prayer. If you're working in town, if you're driving, we have free car passes as well. We'd love for you to join us to pray for the nation. And the nation needs our prayer. We're facing challenges, not just from without, but from within as well. If you're reading the papers, you understand what I'm trying to say. Prayer. And of course, before I forget, and Peter Cook will say a bit more about that, we so care for the welfare of the city. When we invite someone, give someone an opportunity to find out more about the love of Jesus, the Alpha Course is a great opportunity to do that. And I'll end in summary, Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 11. I will come to you, fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place, to home. For I know these plans I have, the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Dual citizenship. We live our life here in this city. We live it well when we live it with great expectancy of our eternal home. And I always say that a Christian who lives for heaven is someone who lives well on earth. And that is the promise that God, as Jeremiah promised to Jews, likewise, we embrace this promise. Of course, we've spiritualized it to mean that one day we too will be home with the Lord. And the Lord will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. All the toils, the sacrifice that you may make here on earth, not counting your life important, but counting that of others. If you live your life in such a way, We look forward to the day we're united back home with our Father and we have served His purpose well. So, Father, we pray. We are gathering here this morning of people from many nations in different situations, some here for long term, some who have been Singaporeans for many generations, some who are new. But Lord, we know that You have called us here in the city for a purpose. Help us to seek after that purpose. Help us, Father, that we may not waste our time away or to come here to say how we can just think solely of maximum enjoyment of the city. But Lord, to think and to ask, Lord, how can we serve out Your purpose? We pray, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.